Welcome to NPE Radio. Let's bring up the African tribal music.
You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of naturopathic earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio, or NPE Radio. I'm so excited that you've returned. Before we get started talking about orthorexia, I wanted to give out all the typical perfunctory rigmarole information about me. I am a double certified health consultant. I'm also a medical and nutrition high school teacher, as most of you already know who've listened to this podcast. You can find me at www.naturopathicearth.com. That's naturopathicearth.com. Naturopathicearth.com. You can also find me on social media. You can find me at naturopathearth at Twitter and on Instagram, and then Naturopath Earth at Facebook and Twitter, and then you can find me at naturopathic_earth on Instagram. And the way it works on the social media is typically I'm the most active on Facebook and posting my articles. Twitter, I typically will be forwarding other people's information. Then Instagram is when I do the videos. So if you want to kind of know what I look like or how I talk or I guess to see the live me, go to Instagram. Instagram's where I do most of that stuff. And sometimes I forward over that to Facebook. But I did get from a friend, actually from an extended family friend, somebody told me, they're like, Gregory, you're posting too much on Facebook. I'm like, really? Because I don't know. Before starting this website, I really was never on social media. So I am pretty ignorant on the decorum, the rules. And so I thought, well, what's wrong with posting a lot of my articles or getting other informative health articles, information that I find, and then forward it and post it, right? It's like a news thing. Like, why would you not want to know about, the links between such and such and such and such? But somebody told me that I was posting too much. So I think on average, I was posting maybe 10 a day. So I don't know if that's a lot. I'm not on Facebook. And so I'm trying to scale it down now to maybe 4 times a day where I'll post an article. And then on Instagram, I try to do that at least once a day. Typically, it's just like a little tidbit of what's going on with the website or what's coming out. And then, or I'll like videotape or give a little tidbit about something, some biohackish thing that I'm going to do, or just a little tidbit of information. And that's just typically what I do on there. And then Twitter, I just Twitter. But if you go to the website, you can see the Twitter feed on the right side of the webpage. All right. So a couple of things. I am working on my dark chocolate review. That should be coming out tomorrow. And I just released an article about the difference between cacao and cocoa. Because apparently there is a difference, right? It's so funny because growing up, I was like, aren't these the same? And then I noticed like, wow. You never really think about like cocoa, right? You never encounter cocoa on a typical day when you're a kid, except from cocoa powder, which is hot chocolate powder. And then you start eating cacao, and then if you don't really look at it, you notice that it's the same letters. It just flips. So cocoa is C-O-C-O-A, and the cacao is C-A-C-A-O. And I'm like, maybe these are just being misspelled. So I did a little article on that, talking about like which is better for you, the cacao or the cocoa, how are they refined differently and so forth. I mean, ultimately, they're both good for you, but one is definitely better than the other. So either way, let me give you a little update here. Kate is out. She is traveling around the Western United States, and she's going to be out a month. I was hoping to do a Q&A with her before she left, but alas, it did not happen. So she is out and about gallivanting in the Western United States. Oh, I love road trips. I wish I could do a road trip. I used to do those in college all the time. I think I mentioned in one of the Confessions of an Obese Child podcast how I did that illegal trip up to Banff National Park when I was about 19 years old in college. I told my parents, I go, Mom, I'm going to go to Corpus, go visit some friends. She's like, okay, Albert, you go do it. You ever do it? Because that's how my mom talks. You do it. And so I just, they thought I drove to Corpus. And then my friend Dave and I, we just drove all the way up to Banff National Park over on the Alberta, British Columbia border. And then we went to Seattle. And I did a bunch of those road trips. Just great, great time. But we are not here to talk about that. That's more of a Confessions of an Obese Child. I try to keep the MP radios under 30 minutes and try to keep them concise because, you know, I do have that predilection to go off topic. And I like to go off topic much more in the Confessions because those are longer and they are more about me and my personality, just what happened to me as a kid, and I can go off topic. But on these MP radios, I like to try to keep it short. And I've already gone off topic. So I promise you I will stay on topic the rest of the time. Orthorexia. One of the reasons I wanted to do a pod on this is because this is very, very prevalent among the paleo, keto, clean eating world. And it's very prevalent among people in it, and they don't even know that they have it. Not because they're ignorant or unaware of the term orthorexia, because honestly, if you ask the typical person what is orthorexia, they don't know. I mean, this is one of those eating disorder terms that has not gained a lot of recognition. It's not really in the zeitgeist, even in the paleo clean eating world. But when we talk about the signs of it and what it is, you will either know people who are like this or you will have some of these symptoms. And at the very end, I will go over which of these that I have, because honestly, guys, and I know a lot of people who listen to my pod are from this world, we are orthorexic. We are. Just come to terms with it. And of course, it's better to have this, you know, if it's controlled more than the classic eating disorders, especially anorexia, bulimia nervosa, and those binge eating disorder. But a lot of people who have unhealthy relationships with food growing up, like myself, I was a classic binge eater. If you don't know that, listen to the 21 episodes of Confessions of an Obese Child, where I'm very, very honest about that. I mean, it's very, very common to morph from one to another. So let's cover orthorexia. The medical terminology teacher part of me will tell you that ortho means straight, rexia means appetite. So I used to tell my high school students, like when we were covering medical terminology and we covered the word anorexia, literally anorexia just means you're not hungry. It means you're not hungry. That's all it means. Yeah, you're not. A means lack of or not existing, and then rexia means appetite. So I told him, I go, if you really want to freak out your parents, just go up to them and say, "Hey, Mom, I'm a little anorexic. Or are you hungry? You want to eat?" And go, "No, I'm anorexic." "What? You're anorexic? Oh my God!" So anorexia just simply means lack of appetite. So ortho means straight. So essentially, orthorexia means straight eating. So the classic definition of orthorexia is essentially obsessing over pursuing a healthy diet. Okay, it's an obsession with eating the perfect diet. And so the classic orthorexics are going to be obsessed with eating perfectly and eating foods that lack the toxins that we talk about ad nauseum here. So we're going to talk about 12 different signs that you may be an orthorexic. These are not going to be in order, but as I talk about them, you will definitely notice some of these is very, very common in either your life or people in your life or the network of people that you hang out with, especially if you're all into paleo and clean eating. So numero uno, do you obsess over food? Do you obsess over food? So I mentioned in, I think, Confession 8, the locked cabinet, that when I was overweight, I used to think about what my food was doing. My parents had to lock food in a cabinet, a bolt lock it, because I was a binge eater and I would just go and find ways to eat. Like I mentioned in the bicycle scene, all these other podcasts, how I would, you know, walk to McDonald's, ride my shaky bike to McDonald's after I learned how to ride a bike. to binge. And so eventually I would order pizzas and hide them. And then eventually I broke into all these locked cabinets. But anyways, throughout the day, I would be obsessing. I was like, what's my food doing right now? Are the Twinkies talking to the cupcakes on the log cabinet? And I would just obsess over food. So a lot of orthorexics are thinking about food. They're thinking about food all the time. Now, it's not necessarily like, what am I going to eat tonight? I'm really hankering for a Reuben sandwich. It's not like that. It's more like you just fixate on the food that you want to eat. And you're hoping that you either have it at home or that the food that you have at home is clean. It's very clean. So you're thinking about food constantly. Okay? And this is something that other eating disorder people do as well. Now, one of the fundamental differences between orthorexia and bulimia and anorexia is that orthorexics will be obsessed with defining and maintaining the perfect diet rather than the ideal weight. But the two come hand in hand, right? If you're on this road of perfection of having the ideal diet, that's going to be tied into having the ideal weight. Because if you're trying to eat clean and you're obsessed over clean eating, then you, by extension, want to not be overweight. So you'll see the two go hand in hand quite a bit. So do you obsess over food? That's going to be number one. Number two, food must be made a certain way. So some orthorexics are more concerned about not, oh my God, this has MSGs, this has, you know, food dye, this has potassium sorbate. They're going to be like, oh no, my omelet needs to be made this way. I have to crack the egg on this side of the pan. I have to throw in the coconut oil or the butter, and it has to melt a certain way. Then I put the timer on after I crack the egg, and the egg has to be on there for exactly 4 minutes. At that point, I'm going to flip it over, and at that point, I'll put the salt. And if you deviate from that, they won't eat the food, or it brings them extreme anxiety. So this harkens to more to like obsessive compulsive, right, OCD, where they need everything to be perfectly aligned in terms of the preparation of their food for them to feel comfortable enough to eat it. And if they deviate from that norm in any way, it freaks them out. And it freaks them out to the point where they'll just, I can't eat this. We have to make it again. Okay, we have to make it again. Now that form of orthorexia is not a more common manifestation, that one. Another quality, number three, be planning your meals way ahead of time. So, I mean, you know, they recommend that you plan your meals like on Sunday nights. That way you can have all your meals prepared for the week, because typically if you're not prepared for the week, you might go out and eat junk food, or you might order out or do takeout. So this isn't like, I'm planning my food on Sunday. I'm chopping up all the meat and the vegetables so I can eat this on Thursday. This is more planning your meals way ahead of time. And again, this is tied back to the obsession with the food and fixating on the food and thinking about your food, is that you want to plan your meals way ahead of time, because that way, if you can plan them and you can get all the ingredients, they can be clean and that they won't be vitiated or contaminated. Number four, are there good and bad foods? Now, this is pretty classic. And I find myself doing this on occasion. We really don't want to define any type of food as being good or bad, right? Like, oh, cake is bad for you. We can't eat donuts. Donuts are bad for you. They're not bad in that really the only bad food for you is something that's been spoiled or contaminated, or has arsenic. It's going to kill you immediately or something like that. Some mercury that's been sprinkled on a salad, mercury salad dressing, something like that. So the problem with defining food as good or bad is that, and this is something that you find in a lot of eating disorders, is that once you eat a food that's defined as bad, you're going to feel like sheet cake. And that point, that might trigger feelings of guilt and shame and maybe trigger you to binge eat. And there's really no foods that are good or no foods that are bad. Like if you eat a donut, you're not going to like gain 20 pounds, or, you know, you're not, your cognition isn't going to decline. You're not going to have, you know, brain clarity. You're not going to fall into brain fog. I mean, you might have a little spike in energy and a little drop, but all food in moderation. And you see this commonly with, I hate to say this, but with paleo, right? It's like, you can't eat bread. You can't eat dairy. You know, anytime I think there's food restrictions, I think you're going down that road of, it's human, man. You want to eat bread. I mean, like I talk about all the time, I want to eat my naan. I love my Middle Eastern bread. But I mean, sometimes you want a Reuben's, right? My friend, Paul, he had a Reuben's yesterday. It looked good, right? Sometimes you want to eat a Reuben's. Sometimes you want to eat the bread. Sometimes you want to have a hamburger. So I think anytime you have food restriction in any way, you define, oh, this food is bad. Now, we understand that the arguments behind paleo and primal, and we get it. Evolutionarily speaking, we're not really meant to eat grains and milk because that only came with the domestication of animals and the agricultural revolution. That's only been, you know, 10,000 years, and we've been around much longer than that. I get that. But at the same time, it's okay to have some freaking bread. It's okay to have some freaking ice cream. So let's not go down that road. And I've caught myself doing that with my kids too. And they'll be like, you know, Danny, I want cake. I'm like, cake's bad for you. And so I've tried to change it to, son, there are certain foods you want to eat more often than others because these foods will make you taller like daddy and make you smarter and help you read better or help you with sports. So you try to put in these incentives to them. And then there's certain foods that if you eat a lot of, you won't become as smart or you won't become as good in soccer or swimming or you won't be able to read as well, something like that. So I try to, because I think it's important to teach kids that drinking Sunny D is not good for you. But you have to do it in a way where it's not labeling food. I mean, we can all eat a donut now and then, okay? It won't kill us. But this goes down to some of the other criteria. All right. So number five. And this is one of the big ones. Do you avoid eating certain foods? And this is kind of connected to, are there good and bad foods? So do you avoid eating certain foods? So let's say you're with your friend, Chance, and Chance offers you coconut cream pie, slice of coconut cream. And you're like, no, I don't eat coconut cream pie. I don't eat cashews. Now, if you have a food allergy, it's one thing, but you're like, no, I don't eat that. Now, of course, there's some religions, like if you're Catholic, you can't eat meat on Fridays, or if you're Mormon, you're not supposed to have coffee and tea and wine. Aside from like religious restrictions, prohibitions, these are people who are like, no, I can't eat that. Now, if you start defining foods as I can never eat these, that's a possible sign that you're an orthorexic. Now, this is kind of like in the DSM. And if you know what the DSM is, the DSM is the Diagnostical Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And it is used by psychiatrists and psychologists to define people with eating disorders, because really there's like no blood test to find out if you're depressed. So what they do is that there is a like 10 list criteria. Let's look depression. If you look at the DSM criteria for depression, and the DSM is essentially the book, the reference book that mental health professionals use to diagnose people. And if you look at the one for depression, like, have you been in a sustained state of depression for more than 2 weeks? Are you sleeping too much? Are you sleeping too little? Are you eating too much? Are you eating too little? Have you had suicidal ideation? And so in their mind, they check these things off. So it's kind of the same thing here with orthorexia. Now, I'm going to list 12. Now, if you have one of them, does it mean that you're an orthorexic? No. And by no means am I not a healthcare professional where I can diagnose you as being orthorexic. But the DSM does not have orthorexia in it yet. But my understanding is that they are going to put in the full fifth edition because I think right now it's kind of under the non-diagnosed, it's something like non-classified, like where they have BD, binge eating disorder. They have it like umbrellaed in one of the larger classifications, but it's not exactly in the DSM yet, but I'm sure in the next revision, it's going to be in there. So going back to not eating certain foods, I won't eat chicken pot pie because, you know, oh, it's got, you know, lard in it, or it's got vegetable shortening, or it's got, see, you always find reasons not to eat these things. And again, you should always be able to eat something. Like, what did I have a couple of days ago that I hadn't had in a long time? Oh, I love Dairy Queen Blizzards. I did have one not that long ago. I was like, that was good. But you don't want to go down that road. Okay, now, number six, you will not eat out. Okay. Now this is going tied to more to the darker ends of orthorexia, but you will not eat out. And one of the reasons you will not eat out is because you know that the food at the restaurants is filled of crap, right? We've talked about how restaurants don't give a damn about your health. They care about the profit and you coming back. So of course it's in their best interest. And if you're a restaurateur and you own a restaurant, you would feel this way. You want people to come back. So you make the food as flavorful as possible. You want to make it as tasty as possible. And that's going to mean putting in as much salt, sugar, fat, MSGs, and whatever other foods. Also, you're going to put in a lot of preservatives to keep your food fresh. You're going to buy more preservative-laden food. As I mentioned, a lot of restaurants get their food from the big food distributors like Sysco. And Sodexo. Yeah, I forgot. Sodexo is the other one. So they just get all their food from the same providers. I mean, a lot of food is not made fresh. But the thing is that with orthorexics, they're like, I can't go to that restaurant because everything's going to be MSG. I mean, they use vegetable cooking oil, and they use corn oil, and they just put high fructose corn syrup. I can't. And this goes down to the seventh one, is that you don't eat out with people. You won't eat out at all, or you won't go out with people. So it's, hey, Chance, let's go to Chili's today. You're like, no, I can't. I'm sorry. I have to do my hair, or I have to, count the tile squares of my house. But really the reason you don't want to go to Chili's is because you know that they give you crap food and you don't want to eat crap food because you want to eat clean. You want to eat clean all the time. You got to eat clean all the time. All the time. Right? And you obsess and you freak out over it. So one of the telltale ultimate signs of orthorexics is that they isolate themselves. So this is going to be number eight. You isolate yourself from friends. You're distancing yourself because orthorexics need to be in control of what they eat. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to always be at home. You throw out all the possible junk food and you only have certain foods, and then you can control what you eat. And then since you know what everything that you're eating, what it has, and then you can relax and eat. But when you go to the restaurants like the Wild Wild West, you might as well be in Dodge City, yo, pew, 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 Wild West. You don't know what you're going to eat there. And that freaks you out and that throws you off. So what happens is a lot of people, part of being convivial and hanging out with people, is that you're going to go eat out, right? Let's go have dinner and a movie, or dinner and miniature golf or whatever. So people go out and eat. That's normal, right? And so you'll be like, no, I'm not going to eat. No, sorry, I don't want to go. Or what happens, sometimes you see people are like, okay, we'll go to Chili's. And then when it's time to order, it's like, no, I'll just have water with lemon. I won't eat anything. It's like, oh, come on. And they're just freaked out over the food. I mean, it controls them. It controls them. So that's a telltale sign. Like, if you will not eat out, and it's not because you're on a diet, because, honestly, guys, and I covered it on the podcast on the clean eating guide to eating out. There are foods that you can get when you eat out. Now, are they going to be as clean as foods that you make at home? Probably not. But they're all alternatives. So you really can't hide behind that. You should be able to go out. This is a problem, guys. If this inhibits you, eating paleo or clean eating inhibits you from going out, then you do. It's a problem. You do have a problem. All right. Number nine. Do you look at food labels all the time? Do you look at food labels? Yeah, come on. You know you do. All right. So you're at the grocery store, right? And you're looking at the food, and then everything before you buy, you look on the back. Now, just because you look on the back, and I talk about the DSM criteria for depression, for orthorexia, it's like the same thing. It's just because you have one or two of these does not make you orthorexic. It's like having a combination of all these things. So we all look at labels. I mean, if you're anything into clean eating and you want to avoid as many food and air toxins and consumer product toxins as possible, you're going to look at labels. I mean, that's part of the business. That's part of the idea behind clean eating. So, but this is more like you have to look at the labels and you are scrutinizing it for any possible toxin. Now, when I'm looking at food, I do look on the back, like you have to. So you're like, okay, because you want to compare two food items. So like, for example, with dark chocolate, we're going to talk about dark chocolate. Some of them use cacao, some of them use cocoa, some use vanillin, some of them have soy lecithin. So you do want to look on the back and get the ones that have the less ingredients and the purer ingredients and the better ingredients. So that's not a problem. The more the problem is that you're obsessing over every food item. So it's to the point where it takes you an hour and a half to shop at the supermarket because you're literally stopping
And when you get to the bread aisle or the soup aisle, and I know, I know most clean eating paleo people aren't going to be eating bread or soup. I know, guys. But let's say you go to the soup aisle, you're like, I don't know which, you know, New England clam chowder to get. Oh my God, there's like six different brands, and like you're reading through all of them and you're trying to find. So there's a fine line here, because you do want to look at the ingredients, but at the same time, you don't want to, again, it's all about fixating and obsessing. And orthorexics will fixate and obsess over these things. All right. Number 9, you drastically reduce your food choices to about 8 to 10 food choices. This is classic orthorexics, right? Because you're like, and this is what goes to the minds of an orthorexic. So let's say you're at work and then someone comes up to you and they'll be like, hey, you want some Skittles? And in your mind, you're like, no, I can't eat Skittles. Skittles have food dye. Skittles have corn syrup. Skittles have high fructose corn syrup. It's just all sugar. They have 36 grams. I mean, it's just all like going through your mind like you're a freaking robot. Like, no, I can't eat that. No. You're like, no, thank you. But in your mind, it's like you're registering. You're like the freaking, like a benign Terminator. Like everything is going through your mind of all the reasons why you can't be eating this thing, you know, or it's like someone comes up to you and it's like, do you want, I don't know, do you want Coke? No, Coke has phosphoric acid, which causes kidney stones. It's all high fructose corn syrup. I mean, it's just empty sugar. It's got no nutrients. No. Malfunction. So what happens with orthorexics is that as their level of group number of friends diminishes because they're saying no to everybody because they don't want to eat out, so do their food choices. Originally, they'll be able to eat anything, and then you'll be like, you'll find something wrong with everything. I can't eat watermelon. It's got too much sugar. I can't eat bananas. It's got too much sugar unless they're green. I mean, it gets to the point where even like quote-unquote healthy foods you won't eat. Here's some ground beef. No, I can't eat green. That's not organic. It's going to have growth hormones. It's going to have antibiotics. It's been sprayed with ammonium. I can't eat it. So eventually you just get down to the point of eating 8 foods, and you eat the same 8 foods every freaking day. And what's on that food list? You know, it's going to be different for everybody. Most orthorexics, it's going to be organic fill in the blank, right? Because, you know, one of the reasons you're orthorexic is because you believe that organic food is the only clean food because everything is filled with pesticides or growth hormones. So you'll be, let's say on the typical orthorexic 8 to 10, it's going to be maybe like organic berries, all right? Because all clean eating people know berries are the ultimate fruit, right? Low in sugar, high in the ORAC scale, and you get them organic because they do, at least the strawberries tend to be high in the Dirty Dozen. So you might have that. You might have some nuts. You might have maybe the organic chicken or organic meat. Hopefully you got some protein there. You might have, you know, certain organic, you know, your organic kale, your organic spinach. And literally you'll have like 10 foods. And so you'll eat the same lunch of the same 10 foods, your pastured egg, your hard-boiled pastured egg. And then you just eat that every day for lunch, and then you eat the same dinner. So, of course, this is not good for you because nutritionally speaking, you need a wide variety of food. Berries are great for you, but you're not going to be getting lycopene from berries, for example, or you're not going to be getting as much potassium like as if you would from bananas. I mean, there's tons that you're not getting, I don't know, pectin. You have to eat a variety of food. I mean, evolutionally speaking, we're meant to eat a wide variety of foods. Not to say we can't function on just eating one or two foods. I mean, look at the Irish, the potato famine. I mean, that's pretty much all they ate were potatoes. So can we function like that? But that's not optimal living. All right, so number 9. Number 10, avoid eating foods made by others. Okay, this is all connected, right? Why can't you eat potluck food? Okay, so you go to a party and everyone's bringing food and someone brings their casserole, right? Their classic casserole. And you're like, I can't eat that. No, I don't know what's in it. Or you ask them, hey, what's inside? Like, it's like an innocent question, but really you're looking for, it's all loaded. Like, so Susie, what's in this casserole? You know, like, oh, well, I put in chicken broth and broccoli and cheese. And the whole time you're like, was that MSG chicken broth? Was it organic broccoli? You know, you think the whole, did you use coconut oil? No, there's no coconut oil. Why? You know, and so you're like, I can't eat that. And so when you're at like at a party, you're like, I'll just stick to the vegetable platter, you know? So, because you don't know how the food was made. Now, granted, I know some people who don't eat potluck food because you're worried about how it was prepared, like if the person washed their hands. And it freaks me out because over the school I teach at, there's a culinary arts program. And so they teach the kids how to cook. But honestly, when I go down there, I get hot water down there for my tea during the day. And I see the kids preparing the foods. And once a week, they make a meal to give to the teachers. I mean, the teachers have to buy them, but they make good plates. But I notice how they don't wear gloves. And so I see them prepare the food. Like they'll have like a fruit salad and they're literally using their hands to mix the food. I'm like, ugh. And I'm not one of those clean, like hand sanitizer freak types, because I think it is important to expose yourself to dirt and to not overly wash your hands, right? So you get a good breath of the microbiome coming into you, or swath of it. But this is more like you don't know what foods they use to prepare that casserole. And so you're freaking out, like how much of the classic food toxins are in this food? And so you just don't eat food that other people make and you just throw it away. Like if someone brings you baked goods, you just throw it away. Because, you know, heaven forbid it might have flour in those chocolate chip cookies your new neighbor made. You just moved into town and they made you some chocolate chip cookies. And heaven forbid it might have flour. You know, I know flour is a baddie. I know that. But come on, guys, it's got to be balance. Okay, you shouldn't be throwing out cookies because they have flour in it unless you're, you know, have celiac disease. Number 11, increased use of supplements. Supplements, yeah. So this is going to be like and look, we'll cover this at the end. We'll cover this at the end. But typically orthorexics will start ratcheting up on either the herbs, vitamins, or essential oils. So, I used to talk about how my mom would be on 10 to 12 psychotropic medications at one point in her life because she suffered from anxiety and depression. I talk about this in the confession series. And half the time she didn't even know why she was taking them. And of course they had horrible side effects. But you kind of see this, and we weaned her off, but you kind of see this in the clean eating world where people will like have this askance view of big pharma and drugs, but then they're just like loading up on all the vitamins and herbal supplements when those are not even regulated by the FDA. Vitamins are not regulated by the FDA. So when you buy your black cohosh or whatever, your kava, your melatonin, your St. John's wort, your vitamin D, whatever it is, you have to have just faith in that company that when it says it's got, I don't know, 500 milligrams of vitamin C, that it actually has 500 milligrams of vitamin C. There's absolutely no regulation at all. They can put contaminants in there. They can put crap in there. It's like the Wild Wild West. It's like, pshaw, 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 yeah. We don't know what's in there. But people in the cleaning world have this faith in vitamins, even like GNC. GNC is just insanely expensive. I honestly don't know. Aside if you're like one of the muscle-bound roid rager types who goes in there and spends like $100 on some muscle supplement, some creatine supplement. Clearly, I know nothing about lifting weights. But just the common person, like, why are you going to GNC? I don't get that. And then just in general, it's like you need to be careful. You shouldn't be, just like we don't want people on 15 prescription medications, we don't want people taking 15 different vitamins and herbal supplements. So this is one of the things that you see in orthorexics, because like as the number or amount of food choices dwindle, the number of vitamins increases. And not to say you shouldn't be taking vitamins, but honestly, if you're eating a well-balanced, you know, diet, you don't need to be taking vitamins. But how many of us are eating well-balanced diets, even people in the clean eating world? You know, and just to go off topic a little, I like listening to some of the paleo podcasts. Like either I'll listen to Dave Asprey's Bulletproof or even, Primal. And I listen and they'll be like, oh, you need to eat, you know, one of the top 10 ways to increase your testosterone. And they'll mention all these like really obscure herbs or really obscure vitamins. They're not vitamins, but just herbal supplements, like things I've never heard of. And then, if you go to the supermarket, these things are like $30 for a bottle. And then I started thinking, it's like, are these people live in such ivory castles now or ivory towers that they don't know that like the common man can't really maybe afford these things? But then I started thinking, it's like, if you look at the socioeconomic, the SES index indicator for people that are in cleaning and paleo, it's going to be very high. the typical poor working man is not into this. Is not into this. So it's kind of like everyone's preaching to the choir. All the paleo cleaning people are all high SES wealthy people who maybe can't afford it. I mean, if you look at Mark Sisson, the dude lives in Malibu, and I'm not like wealthy shaming, because I believe, and I mentioned this in the confessions, that we should all laud people who find success, either financially or you know, through marriage or children or whatever, that we shouldn't believe in that kind of German principle of Schadenfreude and just, you know, having pleasure in other people's misery. We should be happy. So when people make money or have a great business or a great podcast, we should all be happy for them and strive for that. We should strive for that. We don't want to be in that victim status where, oh, I didn't get this. It's not my fault. I hate these people because they just had everything given to them in a silver platter. Maybe they did, or maybe they worked hard. But either way, I mean, what benefit do you have of just being the pity party? So we should be happy for people who find success in any endeavor in their life and in any manner of their life. But I just noticed that, you know, just coming from a certain background, that if you listen to these podcasts, all the people, they do come from a lot of money and they can afford these very expensive supplements and so forth. But the typical man can't. The typical man and woman can't. So increase use of supplements. All right. So the last one is, do you think you have food allergies without medical proof? Now, this is a great one. So do you think you have allergies without medical proof? Right. So how many people do we know? How many people do we know? They're like, I can't eat that chocolate chip cookie because I have a sensitivity to gluten. Do you? Yeah. What else do you say? I think I am sensitive to dairy. Oh yeah, I have lactose intolerance. So you see people that say they're lactose intolerant, or they have a sensitivity to, I don't know, legumes or nuts, but they've never been tested. Now, and I don't want to contradict myself, because I do mention in NPE 5 on elimination diet that you don't necessarily have to go and do the expensive food allergy test, because you can just eliminate certain foods from your diet, and then when you reintroduce them back into your diet, if the bad symptoms of bloating or brain fog come back, then you can pretty much figure out that you are allergic to that. But people who are orthorexic, they'll just start saying like, oh yeah, I'm allergic to dairy, so I can't have any dairy. But they don't know that they're allergic to dairy. Now, they might have noticed that once they've removed dairy, they've, you know, lost weight, and they're not bloated, and their hormones have gotten back to regulation or regulatory status, or they don't have brain fog. And, you know, so anecdotally, maybe they know that they're allergic, but they haven't been diagnosed. And so they sometimes kind of use kind of like the banner of clean eating and the banner of I'm lactose intolerant just to tell people that's why they can't eat it. So that's their excuse for not eating that food when they go to a party or when they eat out. When they just really don't want to eat dairy because they know it's inflammatory to the body, or because of, you know, the growth hormones in it, or because of whatever reason it is. But that's kind of like their cover. So those are the 12. So let's review these before we go into the typical cycle here. So again, if this was a DSM criteria, I would say probably if you have six of these, I don't want to diagnose you. So this is, and in this podcast is by no means wanting to shame you. If you notice that you have some of these, or some family member has some of these, I don't want it to be like, oh my God, I'm orthorexic, I can get all depressed. No, this, you know, my podcast, the website's all about awareness. It's awareness of these things. Just be aware of it and then do your own research on it. But all right, so these are the 12 in no particular order. Do you obsess over food? Okay, so I will go through these and tell you how much of these I have on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very high and 1 not being that high. Do I obsess over food? A 3, maybe. I think about smoothies and blue corn chips quite often. Food must be made a certain way. No, I don't really have that. I mean, I'm not one of those, you know, OCD where my smoothie, I have to put in the milk and then I have to put in the blueberry and then, you know, I don't care. 3, planning your meals way ahead of time. I don't do that. I don't even know what I'm going to eat the day before until that day. So that's a 1. Drastically reduce your food choices to 8 to 10. I'd probably say here on a given day, like when during the school year, and you can ask anybody who's listening to this who works with me, That's cool. They'll know I eat the same stuff every day at lunch. Now, part of the reason is because I don't cook. I'm horrible at cooking. And I don't like to bring leftovers because it comes in plastic and I have to warm up the plastic in the microwave and the BPA is going to leach. So it's kind of like that. I'm a little ortho in that. It's like if I bring leftovers, I'm going to have to warm up in plastic. But I know I could just move them over to paper or glass. But I kind of like what I eat at lunch. And what I typically eat at lunch is I eat a hard-boiled egg, hummus with either vegetables or blue corn chips, berries with some Greek yogurt, and dark chocolate. That's typically what I eat. I'll go through that revolving food thing, food items throughout the year. And I will eat literally the same things. I mean, everybody there knows I eat the same things. So I don't bring leftovers, which typically most people do, or they bring sandwiches or whatever. I bring those foods because I like, or nuts. I forgot to mention nuts. I eat a lot of nuts. I bring those foods because I like to eat a light lunch and they tend to be pretty high fat. So I eat a lot of dark chocolate and nuts and that keeps my kind of, and typically I'm fasting until I eat lunch, which is around 1 o'clock when I eat lunch. And so I don't like to have that kind of crash if I eat too much of a sugary lunch for the afternoon classes. So I tend to eat a lot of nuts and dark chocolate and an egg. So I try to keep it low carb. My dinners are pretty much not low carb though, but we're talking about lunches. So yes, I would say that I do reduce my food choices for lunch for sure. Dinner, no, I pretty much just eat whatever. Are there good and bad foods? I've already talked about that. You know, that's part of being, coming from the background of being a binge eater. It's like you automatically think all foods are good or bad. So that's something that's always a work in process. So I'd probably say I'm a 4 or 5 there. Do you avoid certain foods? On a day in, day out level, yeah, I don't want to be eating donuts every day. So on one level, yes, I do avoid certain foods. Are there foods that I will never eat? No. There's always going to be foods that I will eat unless it's something that I just don't think tastes good. Like, I don't like lemon meringue or lemon bars. I don't like those things. I'm not a particular fan of any meat that comes off a bone, which I think is just so counterintuitive to the paleo world, right? But I won't eat ribs. I don't like literally grabbing meat and ripping it off the bone. It's got to already come boneless. Yeah. Do you avoid certain foods? I try to eat, you know, the best I can given the day, during a certain day. But do I avoid certain food? Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who is trying to eat well or eat clean will avoid certain foods. But will you eliminate them completely from your diet? That's a separate question. So I think the answer to that is no, you shouldn't eliminate anything completely from your diet. I mean, you should eat a ding dong, for Christ's sake, you know, once every year or two. At the least, sorry. Will you not eat out? No, I eat out. Yeah, sorry. I eat out there, so that's a one. Do you look at labels of food all the time? Yeah. The thing is, part of being kind of knowing what you want to eat is that you just go to the same food. So I already know, like, what kind of chip I'm going to get. I already know what kind of hummus I'm going to get because I've already done my research. I already know, like, what dark chocolate bar I'm going to get because I already know which has the best ingredients. So, but in general, do I look at food labels? Of course I do. Yeah, because I mean, that's like my whole website's based on food toxins. So yeah, I look at food labels all the time. But does that stop me from eating certain foods? No. I mean, like yesterday I had a slice of coconut cream pie, or 2 days ago. And yesterday I had some cereal, some granola cereal. Yeah. So no, I mean, no. Avoid eating foods made by others. I've always had this issue with potluck food. It's weird because I won't eat potluck food, but I'll eat baked goods that other people bring. And this goes more back to, I guess, the cleaning part of it is that, and the funny thing is most people's kitchens are cleaner than, you know, Taco Bell's serving area. But for some reason, yeah, I my friends will know this and they know this already that I cannot eat potluck food. It freaks me out. It just freaks me out. But I will eat somebody's baked goods. Do you think you have a food allergy without medical proof? All right. So about 5 years ago, I think I got lactose intolerant. So, and the reason I believe this is because I used to drink milk all the time and I used to eat ice cream and all that. And then I noticed about 5 years ago that I'd get this really bad bloating and I get really bad flatulence when you whip yourself, like the old Catholic saints used to do. Flatulence. And I'd get all bloaty. And so did I ever get tested for it? No. Did I ever do an elimination diet for it? No. So do I avoid dairy? Yes. Now, I eat Greek yogurt because I love Greek yogurt. I couldn't live without it. It's got all the probiotic bacteria in it. So I don't think I could live without Greek yogurt, but I do my best to limit cheese and especially milk. I eat butter. I cook with butter and coconut oil. But I think that just anecdotally, I have issues with dairy, gluten. No, I mean, I do eat foods with, I mean, how do you not have packaged food in your pantry and avoid, you know, gluten? You eat, I mean, it's almost impossible to not eat gluten when it's in cookies, crackers, you know, bread, pasta. I mean, do I eat pasta? I think I went to an Italian restaurant like a week ago and had pasta. So yeah, I mean, so, but if you listen to certain people, they'll tell you that, you know, 70% of Americans are sensitive to gluten or sensitive to this. So if you do have a lot of either weight gain or bloating, or you're having problems with your hormones, your glands, then maybe you should do an elimination diet, and maybe you'll find out anecdotally that you do have a sensitivity to some food. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the elimination diet. I think it's number 5, MP Radio number 5. Or you can just go get a food allergy test by a doctor. But, you know, frankly, that's pretty expensive. Avoid eating foods made by others. I already talked about that. Distancing yourself from others who don't eat like you. We actually didn't mention this. I guess I forgot this one. So distancing yourself from others who don't eat like you. Now, this is a problem that we have with all clean eating people. And I think Kate talked about it when we interviewed her. I think that was MP Radio number 1. Where, and I see this, and this is actually a separate podcast, so we'll talk about this. Like, how do you deal with people when they think you're judging them on the food that they eat? So we'll just save that for another podcast. It's like preaching to the choir, you know, when you become born again, and you just want to tell everybody about Jesus, you're telling your whole family about Jesus, and you're going door to door, Jesus, 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 people just don't want to hear it. So it's the same thing with this clean eating, is people just don't want to hear it. People don't want to hear it. So let's save that to another podcast. But I don't distance myself from others who don't eat like me. Now, I don't really talk about this stuff around my colleagues because they already know how I feel. And I'd like to think that they think that I don't judge them, because honestly, I'm not looking at their food when I eat lunch. I'm just talking and eating my food. But let's talk about that on a separate podcast. Increased use of supplements. No, I've been taking the same 3 vitamins for like the last 15 years. So it's vitamin C, D, and magnesium. And yeah, that's it. So those are the 12. So do you obsess over food? Food must be weighed a certain way. Planning your meals way ahead of time, which I don't. Drastically reduce your food choices. Are there good and bad foods? Do you avoid certain foods? Will you not eat out? Do you look at labels of foods all the time? Do you think you have a food allergy without medical proof? Do you avoid eating foods made by others? Are you distancing yourself from others who don't eat like you? And increase use of supplements. So those are some of the classic signs of orthorexia. All right, so those are some of the classic signs. So I'd say I have about 6 of those. So probably I'm orthorexic, right? But of course, you know, we rationalize everything. I'm like, well, I do eat bread and I do eat out and I will eat everything. So no, I'm not really orthorexic, right? You know, we can rationalize everything, right? You can rationalize any behavior. But the last thing I want to mention, because I know this pod's gotten kind of long, is the typical cycle from dirty to clean eating. So, and all of you will relate to this who are trying to eat clean. So, and I'll just use my own experience, because it's just best to use your own experience, right? Like, write what you know is the old writing adage. So talk what you know. So for 35 years, I ate crap. You know, I binge ate when I was a fat child, and then even after I lost my weight, I still had very unhealthy eating habits, which I'll talk about in the Confessions podcast, where I was still eating junk food, but I was just doing chronic cardio and calorie in, calorie out. And then about 7 years ago, I just stopped that. I don't know why, to be honest. I just stopped it. And then I started making smoothies. I started eating dark chocolate. And I gave up dairy. And I noticed that, I mean, I've since I lost my 100 pounds back about 25 years ago, I have maintained a regular diet. But in that time, or regular weight, but in that time, my weight would go up, you know, 10 pounds and then down 10 pounds. And so about 7 years ago, or maybe 5 to 7 years ago, when I gave up the dairy, I noticed my weight went down and all that. And then you're like, oh my God, wow, I guess dairy is bad for you. And then you start cleaning out your pantry. You start eating better. You start making more smoothies and juices. some people will, when they're going from the standard American diet, the sad diet, to more clean eating, they'll become vegetarian. I went through that maybe for like 4 months, and I was like, no, I miss meat. Sorry. But I went vegetarian, and that's a typical cycle to do that. And some people who are in cleaning are vegetarians too. You know, you're a vegan or a vegetarian. And so you go through this cycle, and through this cycle, you might have lost weight or lost your brain fog, or you're feeling better and you want to tell everybody about it. And then you do become orthorexic and you don't even notice it. You don't even notice it because, and I've talked about this in confessions where the dangerous slope of losing weight, especially when you're overweight, is that no weight is too low. And this is something that anorexics go through. Because let's say your average weight for a guy is 180, okay? But let's say you weigh 320 and you lost 140 pounds, right? 140 pounds, but you get to 180 and like everyone's like, man, bro, Chance, you look great. You should just stop right here. But in your mind, you think, no, I'm going to keep going because there's always a chance I'm going to gain my weight back and I don't want to go back to the hell of being overweight. So you keep losing weight because you're like, well, eventually I'm just going to, you know, gain my weight back because the majority of people who lose a lot of weight will gain it back. And so if I give myself more of a cushion and get down maybe to 160, that when I start gaining my weight, I'll still have, you know, a good year of still looking good before I get fat again. And this is the dangerous slope of orthorexia too. It's like a lot of people who've gone from standard American diet to clean eating have lost weight, or they removed the brain fog, or like they said, they got pregnant because a lot of that junky food was making you infertile. And all these great benefits have come out of it, and you don't want to lose that. You don't want to go back to the way it was before. And so you unbeknownst to you, become orthorexic. One day you just wake up, you're like, I'm only eating 6 foods, I'm reading labels, I'm obsessed with food, I think about it all the time, I'm not going out with friends because of it. But then you're torn because you know this is not right, but at the same time, you don't want to go back to the way it was before, and you can't. You don't know how to find that balance. But this is classic. If you listen to any I don't want to mention Primal all the time. It's not the only podcast I listen to, but you hear that in a lot of these. I listen to Dr. Lowe quite a bit too, but everyone that these people interview, it's like the same story. It's the same story when they're pawning their books. It's, you know, I ate standard American and then something happened to me, or I was overweight, or I was depressed, I was suicidal, I was having endocrine problems. And then I started eating cleaner, and then it all went away. You know, it all went away. And then I'm, you know, now I'm happy, I'm this, I have this book, da 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 da, blah, 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 blah. So you see this a lot with all these stories. So pretty much everyone who's in paleo, primal, clean eating, keto, they all have this story of how they were unhealthy and now they're healthy. And then, they don't want to do anything that's going to sidetrack that healthy thing. And so you become orthorexic, or you might become bulimic, right? You don't want to, or anorexic because, you know, you want to start vomiting all the time because you, heaven forbid, don't want to become overweight again. Or you have the fear that you might become overweight because there's people in your family who are overweight, or your mom always pushed on you that you shouldn't become fat. I mean, this is a separate podcast talking about bulimia and anorexia. But my point, after this circuitous route here, is most of the people I honestly think that are in paleo and clean eating had this route. And they've gone from eating crap, and then they're eating well, and they are kind of in this like benign prison where they can only eat certain foods. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, because I, to a certain extent, have this. And I like to think that most people don't have this. But I think there are a lot of people who are orthorexic who fit this criteria. And the main reason they do that is because they're fearful of going back to the way they used to be. And I've talked about in my confessions, of course, I'm fearful of gaining my weight back. Because if you listen to any of my confessions, growing up overweight is hell. It was hell in the 80s and 90s. I don't know if it's as much hell now because so many Americans are overweight. I don't think fat shaming is as big in high schools as it was when I was a kid. But no one wants to go back to that unhealthy living. If for any other reason, aside from the social stigma of being overweight, is that you don't want your life expectancy to be shortened. So that's one of the things that happens when you are overweight. So no one wants to go down that road. So my point is that this orthorexia can sometimes just bite you in the butt one day. It's incremental. It's like the toad in the boiling water. It's like one day you just wake up and boom, you're orthorexic. So If you feel that you are orthorexic and you need to get help, I would definitely do some research on it, find out about the true criteria, because I mean, I just mentioned some of the stats, but if you feel like you have it really bad, and real bad would mean like you are never going out to eat ever, and you literally look in your pantry and there's like six things, and you're obsessing over food and you're obsessing over the preparation of food and it's completely taken over your life, then you definitely need to get help and you need to go see a therapist. And I'm not a big fan of psychiatrists because, of course, if you've ever been to a psychiatrist, they have to diagnose you with something in order to bill. And the old joke is like you can never go to a psychiatrist and leave without a diagnosis of some sort. So they will diagnose you with something. But in this case, if you have orthorexia, I mean that I honestly don't know if medications will help you with that. They might give you something for the OCD or some ADD drug for it, but I think it's more of talk therapy. But if you notice it's completely controlling your life, then you need to get help. Then I honestly would recommend that you get help for that. Or at the least find some forums on orthorexia, because I'm sure they exist. So I wanted to bring up this podcast in closing because I if you listen to the confessions, you know I'm very honest about my history, my background with being overweight and being a binge eater. And I think this is a topic that's not really talked about in the clean eating paleo world. And everybody, and like when you listen to interviews, or if you look on people's Facebook pages, you know, everything has got that perfect veneer, right? And I'm sure a lot of you have seen the studies that show that, you know, the more you're on social media and the more pictures you post and the more you're on it, the more depressed you are because you think everybody's happier, healthier, better looking and enjoying life more than you are because they're only posting the pictures of exciting, fun, happy things they're doing. They're not posting the pictures of when they're fighting with their spouse or they're broke or depressed or whatever, suicidal ideation. They're not posting any of that. But when you look on social media, you see all these people, you know, who put, like the guys will put all their little muscle bound pictures of how they've bulked up and stuff like that. But I think this is a topic that's not talked about. And I mean, we could have a separate podcast on manorexia, but I think this is just something that's not talked about. And I think that it needs to be talked about. And one of the future podcasts I'm going to do in a week or so is fasting a form of an eating disorder? I mean, that's another topic that needs to be talked about because fasting can be construed as an eating disorder because you're just not eating for most of the day, if not several days, and then you eat a lot of food in a short amount of time. I mean, isn't that the classic definition of being a binge eater? So I do want to tackle that one, but I do want to tackle things that are not necessarily controversial, but I mean, we always need to look in the mirror. We need to have a certain amount of introspection and retrospection and be able to look in the mirror and notice disturbing trends. And this is one of them. I think orthorexia is very prevalent in this world. And I think there just needs to be discussion on it. Let's talk about it. So that's all I have to say today. Thank you for listening. Check out the website. Check out my articles. Post something. I love to talk about this with you guys. So until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.